Hey everyone, welcome to this week's Footy LG podcast. It's your boy Tony. While Nico is out enjoying the Caribbean sun, I'll be manning down the fort for this week's episode. It's actually our 75th episode, our diamond episode, so I'm hoping to live up to that kind of quality. No pressure, right? Anyway, there's a lot to talk about this week between the transfer market. It is silly season, so we've had some great transfers coming through. We've had some weird transfers. We've also had some crazy rumors. And obviously, Mbappe has not decided where he's going, but I don't think we're going to bother talking about Mbappe this week. And we do even have some TFC news, which we will talk about later on in the episode. But I want to begin with the African Cup of Nations. The tournament itself hasn't started yet, but there has been some big moments that have come out of there. But I would like to begin with the way Ghana arrived to the tournament. They came in off the plane with traditional Ghanaian wear. It looked fantastic. It looked so cool to see that. And I have noticed that a lot of countries have done it. Victor Osimhen actually posted him coming in a very stylish. I don't know what to call it, but it looks sick. It looks badass. But sadly, Osimhen has been posting a lot. And well, yes, you know how it is. I am a Napoli fan, so I might as well get the pain out of the way early. Once again, it's just tough times for Napoli. You know, obviously their play on the field has been horrible, and just when you thought the drama with Osimhen, you know, maybe he was going to calm down, but maybe. You know, things he'd be able to just play, enjoy himself with Nigeria, and come back refreshed. Kvaratskhelia's agent decides to go off on a rant and Osimhen, leaving very tasteful comment to him, asking him to leave his name out of his mouth. Obviously, if you don't know, Kvaratskhelia's agent said that he thinks that Osimhen will leave for the big money to Saudi Arabia, and that's all he thinks about. He doesn't care about Napoli. Osimhen, obviously, who just came off signing that big contract with Napoli only a few weeks ago, ended up taking really big offense to it. And he went to Instagram and posted to called him out by name and said to stop talking about him. It really is a shame because Kvaratskhelia and Osimhen were the keys to victory last season. Their partnership, I mean, at points last year, it was considered probably the best duo in world football. And to see them, hopefully this doesn't ruin the relationship. But, you know, we saw how it went down with Osimhen when the Napoli TikTok manager posted those very rude TikToks. He wasn't too happy. So I think this is just another nail in the coffin of Napoli's season. I mean, it's just been getting worse and worse. I mean, you know, you don't want to see agents get involved like this. I think it's just pathetic in his part, and it's a shame because it's a bad rep on Kvaratskhelia, who probably doesn't feel that way, but because his agent, automatically, the rumors are going to be Kvaratskhelia and Osimhen do not get along. So hopefully not, but I do feel bad for Osimhen. Regarding the moves of Saudi, I mean, Saudi has been a big thing, but we'll get back to that in a little bit. Just want to start off, just how bad, this is just a stat I saw about Napoli and how bad it's been this year. Last year at this point, Napoli, so we're actually 19 games into the season. And Napoli last year at this point had 50 points. And this year they have 28. So barely, just over half the same amount of points. It's a reality coming off a Champions League. It is pathetic. It's a pathetic effort. It's obviously I've been running it through the week in and week out. You know, if it wasn't TFC ruining the podcast for myself and Nico, now it's Napoli obviously keeping up the torch. So pretty much, you know, once again, the game last week, I have to speak about it. I mean, obviously I got a lot of people who've mentioned it, the game to me, the score line. Yes, I know Napoli did get their ass kicked 3-0 by Torino. Even though Torino's having a semi-decent season, this should not happen with the quality of players that Napoli have. I know Anguissa wasn't there and I know Osimhen wasn't there, but at the same time, to go lose 3-0 on the road in Torino is pathetic. There's no defending it. Last week we did speak a bit about Aurelio De Laurentiis, the president of Napoli, saying he wants to go out and spend money. And he did. He bought in defender Mazzocchi from Salernitana, a Napoli native. I heard good things about him. And I was excited. I was hoping he was going to start. He obviously didn't. Napoli went down 1-0. They switched him in the second half. And, you know, just the way Napoli season would go, 5 minutes into his tenure with the club, straight red card. I don't think there was anything malice with it. It was a dirty foul. He did have studs up, but I don't think it was malice. I think it was more just hometown kid, you know, well, not kid, he's 28 years old, but hometown guy playing with his hometown team. you know, they're down a goal, they're in a tough season. He just wants to be that guy to bring the spark to maybe keep the season. Oh, you know, it was one of those moments of, oh, that guy, he came in and made change the season. Yeah, it didn't really work out that way for him. It was ended up being a very bad tackle, straight red, not needed for that tackle. And Torino ended up capitalizing, making 2-0 after that. You know, I don't want to dwell too much on the Napoli situation, but the reality is they have some big, tough competition coming up in Champions League against Barcelona. It's their last chance of silverware. But, you know, not finishing top four will be a huge disappointment for this team. And surprisingly enough, they're only like 5 points out of fourth, which is crazy because they have been horrible this year. So whether that just shows that maybe the Serie A this year has taken a step down, or it's more, it's a little bit more competitive, but it's just, you know, they need to turn around somehow. And right now, obviously, their first transfer for the year didn't work out. There are some rumors going around. One guy in particular, which I don't really want to happen, but Mario Balotelli did say he is free agent at the moment. He did comment saying that he would be available and would love to play for Napoli. But I don't think that would be the best route to take at the moment. Osimhen is still your number one guy. Raspadori, I feel he's still a great striker, Simeone, but I'm praying that Balotelli does not go there. As much as I would like to see it, I just think Balotelli's time as a star has fallen off, and I don't think he'll be able to ever get to that level that he once was in his prime, which was very short-lived, sadly. Obviously, Osimhen the Saudi, I mean, we saw last summer how influential Saudi Arabian money is, but it's been a different story this time around as Napoli has lost out on a couple of players this year due to other teams, but one in particular, Radu Grozin, the Romanian center back from Genoa, who plays with Genoa, has officially signed with Tottenham. Napoli was going after him, hoping that he would become the replacement to Kim Min-jae. But Tottenham this year, you know, now they've added Timo Werner, which little iffy to be your Harry Kane replacement, but Radu Grozin, he's probably, if you follow the football your transfer market this past year, he has been the number one target of everyone. Bayern Munich was after him, pretty sure Chelsea was after him, and Napoli was going hard for this guy, and Tottenham came in and swooped him in. So maybe Tottenham will be the Saudi Arabia of this year because they are linked to a lot of people. Obviously, speaking of Saudi Arabia, there is you know, Jordan Henderson has now said he wants to leave. Roberto Firmino says he wants to leave. Jordan Henderson has, from my understanding, has signed up with Bayern Munich, which is pretty crazy to see because Bayern Munich are going to get to in a bit, but the situation in Bayern is very weird at the moment. So Jordan Henderson rumors are that he will be joining Bayern Munich, whether it's a loan or a transfer, we're not sure. But yeah, his time in Saudi Arabia is done. Roberto Firmino as well, supposedly going to Corinthians. But it's funny to see that the two Liverpool stars couldn't handle Saudi Arabia, and I think it's because they're probably just babied all the time in Liverpool, because you know, half that, you know, the way it is over there with those fans and everything. So finally having to actually play without refs on their side probably doesn't help. Anyway, I'm gonna get heck from Liverpool fans there. Yeah, Tottenham, you know, been very, very in it. I mean, the picking up Radu is a huge move. Also, Eric Dier is obviously headed to Bayern Munich. Supposedly, that is also all set in stone. And it's crazy because you look at the situation right now with Bayern. They lost out on Radu. At the moment, Kimmich is supposedly being spoken to by PSG about a possible transfer. Alphonso Davies to Madrid is only imminent, as it looks like Real Madrid are hoping that Davies doesn't sign anything. It doesn't seem like Davies is going to return. So I just want to take a second. That Davies to Madrid, how big of a move that would be for Canadian soccer. I would love it. You know, I hope it happens. I don't think, I know there's people saying, oh, Trent Alexander-Arnold. No, I think Davies deserves it more than Trent. Trent is a system player. You know, he's just a Liverpool guy. I think if you put Trent in Madrid, he'll do well, but it's not the same when you've grown up and you've done one system. Davies has grown from, obviously, from, you know, MLS to Bayern Munich, and now he deserves to be a Galactico, and I'm super excited. I hope it happens. I would like to see Real Madrid give up on Mbappe and go after him. I mean, they can afford both, but it would be nice. And obviously, back to Saudi Arabia, I was expecting a lot more of action from the teams, but it seems as if at the moment There's not many players being linked to Saudi clubs. It's more of players leaving. Obviously, I did mention Henderson and Eric Dier. But to be honest, I think I may have taken my talents to Saudi Arabia because at the moment, I'm sure you guys have seen, the Saudi Arabian Federation wants to develop their soccer pyramid, their football pyramid. So they're offering $4,000 a month and a house for third division players. I think it's a great move. I think there's a lot of people right now in the world that deserve a chance to play, and maybe where they live or their economic situation, they won't be able to do it. And I think Saudi to be able to give them these opportunities, and if you're willing to, this is a different lifestyle for most people. I know for me, it would be a big change to go in with to live the Saudi way, which is nothing wrong with it. But for me, when you've grown up in Canada as an Italian, and you like to eat certain foods, and you like to drink, it is very tough. But I mean, Saudi Arabia, the fact that they're giving these young, lower division players a chance, I mean, anything can happen. You just need your chance. So I think it's pretty cool that they're doing that. But want to get into one more transfer that really popped up. Zaha is actually off back to Villa. Now, Aston Villa's had a fantastic season this year. There's no doubt that being up in second place in the Prem is a big shock to a lot of people. Obviously, City do have the games in hand, but still Villa, nothing against them. They're doing well. And Zaha will be moving on loan with an option of $15 million buy clause from Galatasaray. Obviously Galatasaray has brought in a lot of players, a lot of offensive players this past summer, and I guess Zaha's just had enough and he wants to head back to England. I think that move's really good. I think Zaha, he deserves, he's one of those players that he put in his time with Crystal Palace, and I think he deserves to be on a competing team, a team that will do well. I think Aston Villa, reality is in the Conference League, they're probably going to be your front runners with Fiorentina. So I'm excited to see that. Obviously, there's many others. It's crazy how you go through it, but there is another one in particular. Before, as we move back over to the other side of the ocean, out to the pond, well, I guess across the pond, CPL, Dutch Giants Feyenoord are actually scooping up 17-year-old left winger Tarek Tahid from Vancouver FC. Tahid is Tarek has been on trial to Feyenoord for the past, from my understanding, past few weeks, and Feyenoord is at the point that they like him and they are positioning themselves to offer a bid to bring in the Vancouver FC winger. This is a big move for CPL because Feyenoord, we've seen Feyenoord is a big team. We have seen many MLS players go to smaller European clubs. I mean, York United's defender Ensah went to Sweden. Tristan Borges, I believe he went to Belgium in the second division at one point. So to have Feyenoord look at the 17-year-old, and from reading the article about Feyenoord's bid, Feyenoord do believe this. He's not a generational talent, but he's a great talent coming out of the CPL, and they do expect him to be good enough to be called up to the Canadian national team within the next couple of years. I think as a winger, it is a tough situation, but I do think if we could say as Canadians, we produce a certain position really well, it is a winging position. So we'll see how it goes, but it is a nice little thing, tidbit from CPL that, Eredivisie champions, former champions are looking at our teams. Now, I did promise you guys TFC news, but I'm going to hold off for a little bit here because I do want to start off with some big news. Obviously, we had that the competition this year, the League's Cup between MLS and Liga MX, and it was a horror show of a tournament. It was not fun, and not just because TFC went two games and out. Reality, they looked as if the Mexican teams didn't care. The MLS teams were, not favored, but you just could tell the competition wasn't as good as we wanted. However, one of the biggest players and almost probably the best player from last season, Brandon Vasquez of FC Cincinnati, is officially making his move to Monterrey for $7.5 million. And it's not just him going out to Mexico. Kate Cowell of the San Jose Earthquakes is also moving to Chivas Guadalajara. I think these two moves are very tough to swallow if you are an MLS fan, for the simple reason that Cade Cowell, if you do follow MLS, he's a very up-and-coming U.S. men's national team player. I actually really like how he plays. I like his style of play out on the wing. He's a great attacking player. And then obviously Brandon Vasquez. I mean, he was dominant last year. How well he played, pushing Cincinnati to, I believe it was the semifinals they went before they lost to Columbus. Both these players are, you know, Cade Kalanoff as much as Brandon Vasquez was, you know, one of your marquee players, and to lose it to Liga MX for that amount of money just shows the quality and the strength of the league. As much as MLS is bringing in all these stars and bringing in all these players, it's just not able to compete to keep them when it comes to a guy like Brandon Vasquez. So that's gonna be interesting to see what happens there. That's a big loss for FC Cincinnati, so it'll be interesting how they pop back. And it can't be a transfer story without me talking about another transfer to Inter Miami that has me scratching my head at this point. When you see the rules of transfers coming in and out, every time I see someone say, "Oh, this guy signed with Inter Miami," it scratches my head. Like, how are they able to do it? I mean, Luis Suarez obviously did announce a few weeks ago that he is going to be joining, teaming up with Messi in Miami. And now the rumor is Philippe Coutinho is leaving Aston Villa to join Inter Miami as well. And I just have to say, like, I don't understand how this is happening. It's very, very surprising. I mean, at this point, I do see that Inter is bringing up a lot of youth academy and development players lately, but I think they have no choice if they're paying, you know, Coutinho and Suarez and Jordi Alves or Busquets. It's like you have to find some more cheap options. But you know, the Philippe Coutinho move, I think for Coutinho, I think MLS would be fantastic for him. I think I obviously his time in Europe, he just, you know, when he left Liverpool to go to Barca, just never he was never able to replicate what he did at Liverpool. And at Barca, and I think he's just been continuing to go downhill from there. But a move to Miami, I think he is your. Sorry, I keep thinking I think, but he is your. I think he's that guy. He's that guy that would do very well in MLS. I think he's got that. He's got the talent. And he's got the. He just has that quality that fits perfectly. Like, it's just one of those players that I think would do well. And reality is this. And now I didn't realize at first when you look at who Miami is targeting, and obviously Messi is not having the same effect as Ronaldo is. And the reason I say that is because Ronaldo, you know, he made the league better. He brought more players to come to Saudi Arabia, not necessarily to play with him especially, but just to play in the league. You know, he brought a wave of players, and obviously Benzema helped out and Conte, but Ronaldo was the one that kickstarted. For Inter Miami and Messi, it's not really the same effect because you're not seeing bigger stars, you know, follow Messi. I mean, reality is Messi probably followed Insigne Maradona here. I know he didn't, but I just have, you know, they were here before him. But there isn't as many players. I mean, Hugo Lloris going to LAFC, it's kind of a big, but it's not. I wouldn't tie it in as a sense the same effect that Ronaldo has with Saudi Arabia. But I will say this. David Beckham is a genius, and it's not for the reason you think. He's a genius because, yes, he's using the rules to advantage, obviously, to bring in this super team that he's making. I don't know if I can call him a super team. Maybe past their prime super team, probably. But anyway, long story short, he's a genius because he knows that Messi is a one-club man. He saw that Messi was amazing in Barca. He was amazing in that system. And he saw what Messi did in PSG, and he saw that that was just trash, horrible, not going to work. So what's he doing? He's bringing Messi's guys here, and he's making Messi feel like he's back at Barca. So it's going to be, you know, interesting how the league reacts to this. I mean, if Philippe Coutinho does end up going to Miami, I'm sure it's not going to be a cheap deal. But the fact that we've seen moments in this league where look at Columbus with Nagby, who wasn't they weren't able to bring him in from sorry, not Nagby, Rossi. They weren't able to bring Rossi in from Turkey, from his Turkish team. I believe it was Fenerbahce, and last season because it was just not he didn't fit the whatever rule it was. He was being paid too much money, and then you see what Miami does here. So I think MLS is at that point now where if they allow Coutinho to go to Miami, there's going to be a lot of questions as to why is Miami getting these benefits? That was obviously we know because Messi can't maneuver in a society where everything isn't given to him. You know, he's just, that's just it. If it's his way or the highway, right? So MLS is obviously going to cater to him, and that's just how it is. So obviously, hopefully I haven't bored you guys. Hopefully I haven't made you guys want to cancel. But if you stuck this long to listen to the podcast with just me talking, I appreciate you sticking around. Obviously, TFC news. Once again, TFC is very quiet in the transfer market. I believe last year we didn't sign Petretta until, I want to say it was mid-January, if not the second last week, the third week of January. But TFC, however, did make their first signing of the transfer window. They did sign Honduran midfielder Debbie Flores. He's 27 years old. He's had 35 games in the Honduran national team. He spent time in most recently in Greece and Hungary, playing, I think, believe 30 and 40 games with each of his respective clubs. He did spend time with the Vancouver Whitecaps in their system. Didn't play much in MLS, but he is a seasoned midfielder, and the way it sounds from Hernandez is that he will be the man that will step in to that Michael Bradley role. That to me concerns me because, one, I know that the team, the players that we have are known to have been comfortable in that kind of system, but from the way Herdman was explained in that town hall, I had a feeling that I was hoping that they would change the system. So the fact that they're bringing a guy in just to replace, to fill in Bradley's void, makes me think that they're probably going to stay same structure, which obviously sucks because it didn't work. Obviously, there's more things to it, but which we'll get back into it in a little bit in just a bit. But yeah, it's interesting that kind of sign. That's the first signing of the Herdman era. We'll see how that goes. Also, there is links and rumors that they are interested in French defender Ronald Pierre Gabriel of Nantes. He is a right back. He's only played 12 games since August, so he's not been featuring very much in the Nantes lineup. However, this will be tough competition as teams in France, Germany, and notably Cardiff City in the championship are going after him. So TFC are talking to him, but we'll see if it goes. It'll be interesting. I'm assuming he will be Richie Larea's replacement. So that move there kind of makes me hopeful because I have said on the pod and even between conversation with Nico that the key signings in MLS, yes, the designated players can help you win a champ, can push you to win a championship. But the big signings that, if you notice, every team that's won a championship, it is the player that they came from random teams in Europe. You look at, like, just for TFC alone, you look at Pozuelo's influence. I know they didn't win the championship, but Pozuelo coming from Genk, you know, that Belgian team coming here, he went on, he did very well. You look at Victor Vasquez. He was playing in Mexico, but he was also one of those, you know, nomad European players. You know, so you don't need the big stars. Another one, Marco Di Vaio for Montreal. When he came in, they didn't win, but the effect that he had coming from Bologna and coming to Montreal, it's almost as if those teams, those players from the mid-level teams, just excel better in MLS, as because probably that's just the. For me, I think that's probably just how the same expectations they have, the same kind of level of quality. They're used to maybe these kind of situations. And I think if this is true, it should work out. But we'll see how it goes. So hopefully that does work out. And obviously, as I was saying, so this is the first signing for Hernandez and Herdman as a team. Herdman and Hernandez did mention in that town hall that they wanted to enter preseason with their squad. And I will say this, that the first official preseason game has already been announced. It will be February 2nd against Nashville. And at the moment, we only have one signing and one rumor that I know of at the moment. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully, between the next couple of weeks before the deadline, we see some big moves or we see some good moves that will be bringing good quality. And I'm going to end it off with one thing. I did see a comment regarding TFC, and it really did interest me because of who said it and what he said. CJ Sapong had a quote saying that It was like an Amazon Prime season watching TSC, being in the TSC locker room. He says what we saw in the media was just a micro stories behind the scenes, and it was different completely in the locker room. He did point out that he said he did step up and say, how about you just stop vaping, obviously regarding Federico Bernardeschi. But I know we always say, you want someone to step up and everything like that, but I think CJ Sapong doesn't have much of a leg to stand on regarding talking about everyone, because I mean he played maybe one good half in his tenure as TFC player. It was, we actually somehow lost that trade with Lucas McNaughton, because I like McNaughton and he's doing fantastic with Nashville. But he, CJ Sapong, I don't think he should be. It's almost as if he's trying to get attention to bring up this stuff. But I mean, obviously, we know it was tension in the air between there. And what I don't like is that, now you got a new coach. Obviously, Bernardeschi's still there. You want to start a new leaf. You want to walk into the preseason. Okay, you know what? Let's do a new look. Let's just relax. Let's try this again. And CJ Sapong just comes and goes, no, I'm just going to throw oil on the fire and see what happens. I don't like it personally, Cerritos' comments. CJ, I don't know if he had ill intent about it, but it is a bad timing. I think TFC for Herdman, at least you want to walk into next season very with a unit that wants to be there, and bringing up last year and bringing up, I stepped up and I told. It's like, man, like listen. It doesn't matter, and I don't think it's like it was a good timing, but hey, we'll see what happens. Yeah, TFC obviously finally welcome to TFC Debbie Flores. Hopefully we see some good play from you, and just gonna end it off there. I think that's the end of this podcast. It's gonna be a shorter one. I am by myself, so. And I don't want you guys to not want to hear my voice next week when Nico's back. So thank you all for listening and have a good week.